This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Coming up next, conversations on human rights with Speak Up, Kōrerotia, here on Plains FM.
E nā mana, e nā reo, e nā hō e whā. Tēnā koutou katoa. Nō mai ki tēne hōtaka. Speak Up, Kōrerotia. Tune in as our guests speak up, sharing their unique and powerful experiences and opinions. And may you also be inspired to speak up when the moment's right.
Tēnā koe, this is Speak Up Kōrerotia. The 1982 Citizenship Western Samoa Act grants New Zealand citizenship to Samoans born between 1924 and 1948, the period when Western Samoa was a protectorate of New Zealand. And as has been mentioned, well, if Samoans weren't New Zealand citizens, then where were they citizens of during that period? The Muldoon government, however, revoked eligibility for the citizenship for all Samoans who were not living in New Zealand at the time. The bill was made in September 1982. And then 42 years later, in 2024, an amendment to the Act was pulled out of the biscuit tin in Parliament. The government received more than 25,000 submissions made to select committee from people in Aotearoa, New Zealand, from Samoa and elsewhere around the world. The passing of this bill into law in late 2024 was a historic moment for Aotearoa, New Zealand, Samoan relations, but especially for those individuals who were affected, who had their right to New Zealand citizenship restored after 42 years. This reinstatement of New Zealand citizenship applies to an estimated 3,500 people. On today's show, we'll discuss and celebrate the importance of this act, especially for those people who have finally had their right for New Zealand citizenship restored. We'll also discuss, though, who missed out on the right to citizenship, namely the descendants of those people who should have had citizenship during that time. We have three guests with us who will all bring different perspectives to this topic. We've got Tawhilau Nina Kirifialai, Ricky Welsh, and Selma Scott. As we kick off our discussion, we're going to play a song, Maua Samoa, which became almost like an anthem for the campaign in
Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the opportunity to kōrero and tell Anoa about something that happened in our journey as Samoans here in Aotearoa. We ask that you continue to bless us. Wai mai lo, o mana le atua, nia ia whamanuia a mātou ngā luenga, wai e tutofi ai, au alama ne a te mātou, I have 4 years to be in my love field. Bless the station that is creating this platform, this space for us to tell and know. And we ask that you bless Selma, Ricky, and ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Lanina, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a wee bit about what has brought you to this particular point?
Again, thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name is Tofilau Nina Kirifialai. Tofilau is a title from Lonu, the Iba Sawai, Samoa. I'm proud to be who I am, you know, representing my family, my village, my country, and my role in my 8-to-5 job every day, and sometimes 8-to-8 or other things like that. You know, I'm Sula Malai, head of Pacific Community Engagement here at the University of Otago and based here in Auckland. And in my other role, I was one of the deputy chairs of Mau Samoa Sid Senior New Zealand Luafi Luas Fufa, one of the organizations that led the campaign to supporting the bill that was put up by Honorable Tianau Tuyono. Hence why we're here, to reflect on that journey. And I look forward to the Talanoanga.
Ula, talofa lava, malo soifua. My name is Po'olanga Selma Scott. My title is from the village of Lepa in Samoa. Got a soul practice in law. I've been in here for like 22 years. And in those 22 years, I've had a lot of immigration work, helping our Pacific people navigate their way through the immigration applications that they have to make. So some experience in a lot of cases, overstayers from the past, as well as up to now. Thank you, Korerotia, for the opportunity as well to speak as part of the panel on today's Talanoa. Maybe I'll just leave it to Ricky to introduce himself.
Yeah, ta'alofa lava, whakalofa lahi atu. My name is Ricky Welsh, Samoan, Niuean, born and raised in Christchurch. And like others, very proud to be able to represent my family, which is sort of why I got interested in this topic in the first place. Both my grandparents were born within that time period, people who were affected by the Western Samoa Act, and we have a little family committee that I sort of lead along. So that's probably the committee of all the committees that I sit on that I'm most proud to be able to talk about and be part of, because it's my family, my aunties, my uncles trusting me to lead the way there. But in our wider Pacific community, I do a number of things. And I guess the big one for me has always been around Pacific young people participating in our democracy. Pilot is the name of the charitable trust that I'm part of. And we want to see Pacific young people being involved in democracy and whatever that might look like, whether that be running for their school board of trustees, speaking up in community meetings, or doing more formal things like making submissions on bills. And so we had been lucky enough to be part of the movement and played one very small part in trying to get this bill over the line. And so that's something that we've been very proud to be a part of here in Christchurch, doing whatever we can to contribute towards that. So yes, thank you very much for the chance to contribute to this discussion today.
Whetai, thank you very much, everyone. I think as we get our kōrero started, it would be really great to just have a bit of a sense of the history. What has led to the point where we've now got the Act as a part of law? There's been a lot of history behind it, a lot of movement, a lot of campaigning, a lot of protests over the years. It'd be great to have a sense of what happened.
Historically, New Zealand administered Samoa from the First World War 1914, when they took over on behalf of Great Britain, German Samoa. At that stage, they continued to administer Samoa until Samoa became an independent state on 1st of January 1962. So that was the historical background. But in terms of this amendment that Parliament has just passed, the starting point really is the Lesser and Attorney General case that went to the Privy Council, where the Privy Council ruled that the Samoans who were born between 1924 to 1949 were British citizens and became New Zealand citizens after 1st January 1949. And so Lisa won her appeal to the Privy Council, but within 7 weeks, the government at the time, which was the Muldoon government, passed this act to revoke citizenship for this group of people and all their descendants and wives. So it meant that only people who were in New Zealand, Samoans who were in New Zealand on the date the act was passed on 14 September 1982, as well as Whale Mai Lesa, who was the person appealing to the Privy Council, became New Zealand citizens under that act. But everyone else, Samoans who were eligible following that Privy Council case, weren't. So it's followed on then from that. Over the years, there have been protests, petitions to Parliament, and then we had two apologies from the governments of the day in 2002 for all the colonial acts that were done in the past, the transgressions. And then in 2021 with the Jacinda Ardern government, and that was an apology for the Dawn Raids. So I think that's where it led to in terms of there's still continual protesting over time, dissatisfaction, concerns from the Samoan citizens. Eventually it led to this bill that was pulled out of the biscuit tin that Te Anau, the Green MP, had put in. So fortunately for us, all the parties supported the bill going through the House at the second reading, and then it was passed. But there were, as mentioned by various people, over 25,000 submissions that were made from various people, including various sectors of the community, agencies, churches, different ethnicities. But there were so many people involved in a lot of the petitions, so it wasn't just an individual. Some petitions, as quoted by an MP, involved around 6,000 people. Churches, for instance, would involve a lot of people in their membership. So it's not just one submission. It's actually more than 25,000, I said. So that's where I would leave it. And I think Tofi Lau has got something to add as well, and Ricky.
The historical journey is very important so that history doesn't repeat itself. And I'll encourage young ones and through the leadership of Ismay Salis, Ricky Welsh and many others who stood up during this campaign and actually showed real leadership connection, because there are many, many issues that come. But as Fuananga shared, you know, this was not easily acceptable by the Samoans. Right from that time, there were always people going up against it. We want the Privy Council decision. We wanted it from day one, right up to last year when we passed the new amendment of the bill put forward by Tuyono. It's a proud history. If you look back, you know, how people, small or big numbers, they were all congregating and supporting. It's a very emotional history as well, because you go through it. We are the only country that has a treaty of friendship with New Zealand. And then if you go back, so 1982, as Selma shared, you know, there was quick action from the New Zealand government. There was this fear that all of Samoans, 100,000s, were going to move to New Zealand. But if you think about logistics and the numbers of Samoans at that time, at the moment, there's only about 220,000 Samoans. I don't know where that number came up with. And the scaremongering that started then and it still came up to our campaign last year. 1982, they created this Citizenship Act. And it's the only law in the New Zealand laws, the only one of a country that snatched away citizenship. Now, how many countries do that? They took away citizenships of their own citizens. And that is one of the most racist law that was there. So for most of us, we went against that. Most of us are New Zealanders as well. So we didn't want that to continue to exist. But if you think about, because the new law, the Citizenship Act of 1982 for Samoa, Alongside that, there was a protocol that limited, that was signed in somewhat at the airport. You know, if you think about how these things were done, ele fa alo alo. There was an acting prime minister that did it. There was all these senior leaders. If you think about, you know, le ava atu ava mai, alo atu alo mai. You know, your heart breaks how your leaders were treated. And then after that, we had all these other things. And in 2003, there was 100,000 signatures, a petition. They marched 8 buses, I heard, came from Auckland. And I was in Dunedin at the time, and I signed a petition. And they all went down there and knocked on the door of Parliament. And that's important. 2003, we were outside knocking on the door, knocking on the house. This is what we have. We believe that our rights were taken away of our parents, of our elders that particular time, that class of people and their descendants. And nothing was done about that. And then 2021, there was the apology by Jacinda Ardern. And so there were many things at that time in the history of New Zealand. It was a very unsettled part of its history. And unfortunately, the people that suffered, you know, from this bad loss, if you like, you know, were Pacific Islanders, were Samoans. Like, if you think that was a time of the Dawn Raids, you know, as mentioned earlier, and it started all there. And these are the people that helped build the economy of New Zealand. And so we came to 2021, Honourable Jacinda Ardern apologised. Only last year we saw immigration continuing to do dawn raids, but the apology was to stop it all. And then 2023, the bill was pulled out, as shared earlier. Many Samoans believe there's a hand of God. Now, how many times that was likely to happen? For Samoans, we're sitting here thinking, how else are we going to go to do that? How else are we going to go and challenge this injustice, you know, was glaring at us, you know, and our elders were passing away day by day. The youngest at the moment, 76 years old. Yeah. And then the journey started when that warrior, Tuyono, you know, put it through. One of my roles, I'm a program host for PMN Samoa. And Anai came to seek help. And straight away, our team at the PMN Samoa, we started the committee. So Anai was the chair. I was one of the deputy chairs. Honorable Aupito is another. Now Secretary Sayuli, who's the producer of our program. We knew straight away, if we are going to win this thing, we need a good team. So we got a good lawyer, Lua Manuao Katalaina Sapolu. 24 hours, she would work on the documents and all that. And I would encourage our young ones, go and read our submission and many other submissions, because you will see the difference of approach. Like, it was a well thought about campaign from every part of the Samoan community. You have to look at things in the totality. You know, you look at the culture at the time. It was a very unsettled time in New Zealand. And then he came to the campaign. What a campaign. And I'd like to acknowledge everyone, everyone. Not many people believe that it's going to happen again. Remember, we do all these programs on the radio. Where people will ring in. Now, talkbacks will say, yeah, don't waste the time. It'll never happen. And in case New Zealand turn around and send us all back. These were some of the comments. But for us, you know, you knew there was a wrong. There was a huge, huge mistake around here. And we started pushing on. We had a team. We had a team of researchers. We had all that. We had a group and we had a church. They allowed us to meet there every Sunday night. Faietatalo, you know, we prayed and we did all this 5 hours. They would all come. We'd all congregate. We'd sing our hymns. We pray. And, you know, every day we do that. And then in May, we started our campaign. We thought we had to prepare, you know, to ask Samoans to come and join us. So we decided we'll march and we went to the flea markets. And then also we went to Central Auckland. After that, we went to Samoa. I'll talk about Samoa afterwards, but I want to hear from the young ones like Ricky and his group, because this was the takeaway for me, was to see our Aotearoa whānau. Now, these are the leaders of the future, all educating themselves on the issues and joined us.
I would commend the pilot for the action that they took in Christchurch. They mobilised the community meeting to raise the awareness around this bill, brought in the MPs, including Te Anau Tuiono, who was there, and a national MP. And so our elders, as well as our young people who were present, were able to talk to the MPs and express their views about what they thought this bill was.
Ricky, can you say what PILOT stands for?
Yeah, PILOT stands for Pacific Youth Leadership and Transformation. That was a name that was chosen by Pacifica Women's Canterbury Branch, the Ministry of Pacific Peoples, all the way back in 2010 when they were encouraging us to come together and get involved in democracy. And so, as I mentioned, that's something that we've always wanted Pacific young people to do. And one way that you know, we mobilize ourselves as Pacific people as we draw inspiration on from those who have gone before us. So whilst I might be out here advocating, it's good for me to know what is my background, what has my family done in this area, if anything. And my parents, their job was mainly to put food on the table for us. But I had always heard stories about my great auntie Elizabeth Smith Lilo from Wellington. And no one could tell me exactly what she did, but everyone had always just said she was an amazing woman involved with the union, knew Helen Clark. And so it was about 10 years ago in 2015 where I started doing some research to understand what did my auntie actually do. And then I found out that sort of one of the things she was well known for was being a secretary on this random committee. And it was a committee called the Samoan Fundraising Committee for the Lasar case. And I wasn't sure what that was. So I started to look into it. And what I saw was that there was some sort of injustice that had happened and they needed some money to go to the Privy Council at the time in Britain. And so she helped fundraise money for that. And I wanted to learn more about my auntie. And so I looked into it and I saw that, you know, in 1948, when New Zealand citizenship was created, very clearly in the Act, it said that all British subjects in New Zealand become New Zealand citizens. And equally, those in Western Samoa also gained New Zealand citizenship. And that just seemed obvious, very clear in law. So I was surprised to see that the government didn't agree with that at the time. And when they started their rebel, really, against Pacific peoples after we had been here doing the labour and the factory jobs, and they decided to send us back, they were very clear that our Western Samoans weren't New Zealand citizens. And that's when they started doing things such as the Dawn Raids. And of course, we had Lasar who stood up to that and tested it. And reading some of just the personal narratives was so interesting to me of things that the lawyers said, such as in the Privy Council. So the story goes, the justices actually said to the New Zealand Attorney General, are you sure? Do you want to rethink your argument? Because it doesn't seem like you have much to stand on. And it didn't take them long in terms of their deliberations to say, no, it's very clear that the Western Samoans did become New Zealand citizens. And with that decision, obviously 100,000 plus Samoans, so they say, became citizens overnight, but they already were that whole time. And I always find it interesting, and especially what Tofila mentioned in terms of the scaremongering was that all these Samoans are going to come over to New Zealand, so we have to quickly change the law. I actually think that was a giant smokescreen. I think the real reason they changed the law quickly was because they had been dawn raiding their own citizens. They were sending their own Samoan citizens back to Samoa when they were New Zealand citizens this whole time, meaning they're going to be open to huge lawsuits, the government using their power against their own citizens. So I think that's the real reason that they moved to change the law so fast. Not 100% sure, but I'm sure there were some discussions like that behind closed scenes. So I was lucky I got to know this and I got to learn it quite well. And what I found interesting was when I talked to my family and stuff about it, nobody knew. And I thought it was this profound thing. Do you know that Western Samoans had their citizenship stripped from them? And people were genuinely surprised. to the point that one of the lead professors of political science at the University of Canterbury, her name's Bronwyn Hayward, she ended up asking me to come in for many years, and I still do, come into her 100 level and 200 level political science courses. I guess lecture on this specific topic because there wasn't a lot of people who knew that information well and was able to teach that to some of the students. I was caught off guard and surprised when I had heard that a bill had been pulled from the cake tin and they were actually going to look at least having a vote on it. And I think myself, like many others, did not expect it to pass the first vote. I didn't have the faith that Tofi Lau and others did.
Ricky, we turned up at that first reading, just four of us. And over the week, we prayed and requested our Mafutanga Whaiwhi'au Wellingtoni, because they're closer, to please turn up and have a presence. But you know what happened at that first reading, eh? Yeah, as you said, not many people believe that it's going to be passed. You know, but for us, we fought. As I said, 2003, we were knocking on the door. 2024, they were inviting us to come in and state our case. So we turned up. And fortunately, there were two delegations from the government of Samoa in the parliament at the time. The Speaker of the House and his delegation, and Minister Honourable Latinu'u Wayne Fong and his delegation. We met in the foyer. Oh, what's happening? And said, we're going to this. And they all turned up. You know, they turned up. And I think, if you think about it, how it unraveled, I think we shocked the parliament by acknowledging that we have this high-level delegations from the country present in the gallery. And then we had our church leaders from Wellington as well turning up, and coalition government turning up, all thinking they're going to chuck it out. But ACT and New Zealand First were for the bill, and National were caught in the corner. So you can imagine, Ricky, you can imagine now, we flew out of the building that evening. Like, okay, the door's been opened, let's do it. If the first reading was hard, the second reading would be harder. And I'd like to acknowledge 25,000 plus people. We had lawyers. We had Law Student Association from Victoria University. We had a Lawyers Association from Auckland, or around the country, Pacific Lawyers Association. And we had our own legal team led by Sapolu. And then as we did our campaign, we met some brilliant warriors. We met one who is Esme Salisa. I want to acknowledge her because she came with her mother, Honourable Jenny Salisa, to our second march in Otara, where she's an MP. And this is the thing. Labour's MPs marched with us. We had Barbara Edmonds coming up for it, and we had Lemonga and Jenny marched. And Esme, a very young Tongan Samoan, she said, any forms, any forms. So we had about a six-page form, and this techno-savvy young one, she said, don't you have something easy to say? No, no, you know, you know, we were just put together and all that. That night, she kicked into action. And she created one. She got 8,000 signatures. We have Esme here, and we had Ricky and his team in Christchurch, and we had the law students in Wellington. These are the things that we're so proud of. After the first reading, before the second reading, we went to Samoa. We realized that the people we're fighting for are in Samoa. So we went, we did our research, 3,800 people are in Samoa. According to the stats, in 2021, Samoa had its census. That's where we got this from, and from UNESCO figures. We got there, you know, it was hard to get Samoans to, you know, to join. You know, the people were scared, people were skeptical and all that, but we still marched on. So we got there, and we were so fortunate because the biggest denomination, Congregational Christian Church of Samoa, Fakasa, they were fighting for Fonosu, Fonotele. They had their conference that week. Mm. Oh, we were so lucky. And even a lot of elders would say to us, nothing like that has ever happened in the history of this annual conference, you know, allowing a something like this, because they prepare their agendas a year ahead. But we turned up and we were allowed to speak for half an hour. You know what happened that night? 2,000 signatures came from that day alone, and we started collecting it. After that, we went to see His Highness Tuya Tuotupua Tamasisi Efi. And I want to pick up a point that Ricky was saying about his anti-fundraising. And it was then that we found out that he too sold a piece of his land, you know, for $99,000, so he could fund some of the lawyers to travel from Samoa to England for the court case, you know, in 1982. So these things happened that we didn't know, you know, through this journey. It was very educational. Many New Zealand Samoans did not know about this. Many of our young professionals never knew about this. So as we learned, as we went through this journey, many more joined. Many more joined, and it was a proud moment. I think I'll pause here and let Pualanga share about that journey. We have to reflect on the journey.
I think in Christchurch, Pilot was instrumental in setting up the community meeting, and I'll let Ricky talk some more about that. But just following on, there were a lot of people in Christchurch at the meeting who also made submissions, personal submissions.
Yeah.
And we also had Punofa Fautua who made submission. You're representing the group of Matais in Christchurch. Yeah. It was actually really good to see what happened on a regional level as well as the national level, as you were telling us about, Tofilo. So, Ricky, maybe you can expand a bit more about what Pilot was doing.
Yeah, thank you. Well, like I said, it was a surprise when that first reading passed. So that night, it was blowing up our social media, and one of our friends who is a lawyer and a close friend got in contact with us, rung us and said, you just have to do something. So we called a board meeting that night, and Pilot got together and we were like, this is what we've been preparing for. So when it comes to making submissions, we already have a really good model, which we call iSpeak. iSpeak is something we have been doing for years. We've run over 20 of them. And what we do is we take the in topic at the time and we do our best to get young people to come and discuss that. How we can get young people to attend these sorts of meetings, we look at what are all the things will make it attractive. Well, first of all, we don't want just boring presentations. If we can have two people with different arguments who are arguing, young people love that. Who doesn't like to come and watch a debate? So let's get two people with different arguments. Let's have some delicious food. So start off with food. As soon as you get there, let's have music. Let's give away prizes like AirPods and vouchers. Let's make it a short event, because if we're having these events that run on for 4 hours, young people won't show up again. So we had created a really good format that is all over and done in about 90 minutes, where you come in, you get your food, you play games, and then you listen to people debate. And we managed to get in two very good people to come and discuss the bill, someone who was for the bill, the man himself, Tiano, from the Green Party, and the party who didn't vote for the bill, our local National MP, Hamish Campbell, came to speak on behalf of National. And what was interesting about this iSpeak was we've done iSpeaks on many issues. The war that happened in ISIL, deep sea oil drilling, Te Tiriti conversations. And we've never had lots of community interest. Obviously, there was huge community interest in this. And a couple of days beforehand, I got a call from elders in our Samoan community and the ministers saying that they loved it. We've organised a venue and at our local PIPC church and a time and these speakers, and they said respectfully, can we have this event? Because, you know, this is something that affects our generation. And that made complete sense to us. But equally, we wanted to be part of this movement. And like I said, it was our model that we were using. And so we had to have that intergenerational conversation and say, hey, we do really want you to be part of this. Is there any way that we could still lead this? And we make sure that you as our elders will absolutely have your chance to have just your time with the MPs and the speakers. And us young ones will go to the side for a while and do our own little thing. We'll give you your space and then we'll all come back together as a group in Talanoa, and we'll get it all done in 90 minutes. And they said, okay, we trust you. And so they left us to it, and we were so lucky to have our elders show up. And whilst, of course, we're always happy for our young people to come along and contribute, it was our elders who really showed up on that night. It was the first time the young ones had been outnumbered at our own Pacific Youth event, but that made sense because of the topic and how important it was. And so both Tiano and Hamish were able to give their opinions on why their parties voted the way they did. But what was really cool was Hamish from the National Party was there to listen. I saw him taking in the stories and realizing this is a lot more serious than what we thought. Maybe we voted wrong. I can't be 100% sure of what happened, but I have again heard through the grapevine that he went back and he was one of the advocates to the National Party to say, I think we need to switch our vote on this. As a result of that funnel that we had, we submitted every single verbal question statement that was made. So we had a recorder and we transcribed everything. So you'll see Salma's comments in there. You'll see the swear words that were said, everything that was said, all put into our submission, and we submitted the entire thing to Parliament. And I was also privileged to fly up to Wellington and make a verbal submission on that as well. And I think it's the best case study we have, in Christchurch at least, of both our older generations and younger generations in one room respecting each other enough. There were still difficulties. For example, our elders weren't happy that we had the food first. They were like, you eat after the thing. But we were always saying, this is the way we do it. We eat as we're coming in because it saves us time. We don't have to wait around. So there were still niggly things, but it was really good. And I have to give massive props to Salma and to Fatsofia, Pauline and Earl Simpson, who really were able to hold that space safe for us, because there were still those with traditional views that felt we should have just handed that over to our elders. Yeah.
We had an open as well. There were some big differences. There was no need for that. But thank God we continue to drum on and to march on. So there were many, many groups that contributed to this. We also worked together with Falapuk Tonga Samoa Hamilton. We went down twice to explain some views and shared with them. And we also heard from people in Hawke's Bay, in Waikago, and many other people. So we were only too happy to share. But you're right, there were some troublemakers in our community. Sometimes some people are too hungover on who was the first. You know, it's a waste of time. But at the end of the day, we all came together, and I'd like to acknowledge Tele Ai, Malfonofofo, Tua Aukilani, and all of them. They worked together. They hosted Winston Peters, Tianao, and all that. It's all came together to the solution we had. Going back to our trip to Samoa, many, many things came out. You know, there were also people say, oh, la la ngao na mea, you know, what's the point? Are they going to change anything? Well, it doesn't remove the fact that it's our right to fight. You know, it's our right to challenge and all that. So we stuck at it. So after the Fonotele Malua, then we went to meet with one of our paramount chiefs, Fionga Tuiatua, as I shared before. This is after we had a press conference and all that. People were still skeptical. But we learned and reminded of our culture. We have to go through and see our elders first, our leaders first. Once they give their blessing, yeah, that's how everyone started, everyone. So we reached out. Our lawyer made a connection with Sango, Samoa umbrella of NGOs, and Fionga Fuimono and their group. They helped us on the ground put together a funnel, a public meeting. And we met with them and I said, so how many people going to turn up? How many lunches are we going to provide? And say, I don't think anybody, that big number is going to turn up. Let's just provide bottles of water and all in case, you know. It was packed. It was packed. We ran out of forms and all that. It was beautiful. The other one I want to acknowledge is Frankie's supermarkets. If you're me, Frankie. 13 of their supermarkets held our forms, collected the forms and bring them to us. So we had this problem. How many suitcases are we entitled to bring? So we lobbied the High Commissioner of New Zealand in Samoa. Because remember, we come back that week and there's a one more week of submissions, which was 31st of May. Mm-hmm. So we lobbied La Fionga, Her Excellency, if they could take the forms. Thank God, the night our team arrived in Auckland, opened the phone, and it was accepted. So straight away, we went out, like, to acknowledge all of them that put together, Helen, Agnes, even the schools in Safata, all these teachers mobilizing the kids to do the forms. So Anna's only family in Alafua, many people who helped to put together the submissions. And I'm sure it's more than 10,000 that came. But what we are thankful for is that we had the Saume Samoa. One of the things that I found on the way there, you realized that there was another group of people that were, remember, this happened 42 years ago. So the families of those leaders who were blamed for taking away the citizenship of Samoa, Lefionga and Palimia, Ba'ai Kolone, Male acting prime minister at the time, or Tolia Tofilau, Iti Alisana. For all those years, you know, their family had the stigma of being families of Taitaina, Veseale, Ayatau. You know, we heard from the former Secretary of State, Yulai Toma, and his submission. He was in the room. And all that I said was, we want the Privy Council decision. Oh, well, bygones be bygones, but justice deserves to be acknowledged. To see the tears. This is another group of people that was affected by this injustice done. This is what I meant. You know, there was a very uncertain, bad time in the history of New Zealand, eh, Selma? As a lawyer, you see all those family broken up and all this by bad laws and things that happened. And, you know, it's important to reflect. And I hope people are given the chance to reflect. Only last week, we saw 847 people have received their citizenship now. In that warm feeling and tears, when you see photos shared on Facebook, you know, we hope many, many more. Yeah, it's sad that descendants are not there. But as we said, you know, let's celebrate our elders now. Anusa'i descendants, your ta'au will come. Your time will come. But for now, let us celebrate our elders, those who are surviving ones, who are able to gain citizenship, are able to travel and feel that right restored.
Yeah. So just on a personal level, I was one of the lucky ones, as mentioned, who got my citizenship because I was in New Zealand on the date that 1982 Act was passed. And I was jokingly saying to my husband when I was thinking about this that we may not have had a future with our children if I hadn't had that. My life would have
been. You would have found another way.
And that's why I am sad, even though we are meant to celebrate, that of the people in my family who were entitled to it, my parents, my stepmother, four of my older siblings, my aunt, uncles and aunties on my mum's side, except one auntie, they have all passed on except for my stepmother. And so out of all of them, only one can now apply. So that's the sad thing, is the numbers, when you're looking at the numbers. But we continue on. As Tofilau said, we have to celebrate the win, but we still know that there's still work, because there are so many more people entitled to it. You know, when New Zealand is administering Samoa between 1914 to 1962, what else type citizenship can you give them? That was my submission, was that the United Nations Convention on the Reduction of Statelessness applies. Mm-hmm. New Zealand as a signatory has ratified that. You know, in that particular time period, New Zealand administered Samoa, unless they give Samoans during that time New Zealand citizenship, what other state could they have? You know, because Samoa only became independent 1 January 1962.
One of the documents, as I stated earlier, that was signed or forced to sign, the protocol. The protocol bring into the picture the Treaty of Friendship. And it also stated at the end that if anything is to change and anything is to be discussed, it's the two governments that need to meet and discuss it. We heard from the Prime Minister of Samoa and their views on that government level. We made the approach. We wrote to her requesting a meeting and all that. We got a response. We respect her views. you know, that's the government level. But as citizens, we have a role to play. As you stated, Selma, this precedent, a law about what we went and what we fought for. All this is nothing new. As I said earlier, we knew from the beginning we're going up against the law, so we need to fight. You know, we need to get a good lawyer, and we need to work with it. And I think it shocked them, eh, Ricky? I think the second reading was funny because second reading happened during Chokum in Samoa. And I was in Samoa for Chokum. And oh my gosh, what a day. We were watching it in between the Chokum meetings and side events. We were watching it, and what a proud feeling to see all Samoans celebrating in Samoa. Reconfirmed to us that what we were doing was the right thing.
I think we also need to acknowledge the support that we got, although we're not Samoans, because that was huge, that we had this total support, not just in the House with the various parties, but also across New Zealand, who wrote in submissions to support the Samoans to get their citizenship back. So I think it's nice to see the change in New Zealand. You know, the landscape has now evolved to a stage where they are fully supporting this movement.
I saw submissions from Māori organisations,
yes,
other churches that are non-Pacific. A lot of my colleagues who are Balangis, you know, they never knew this existed. And the level of submissions, eh, Selma and Ricky, our elders and our professionals and people who wrote in. Remember at this time, 1982, most of them about 80 years old now. The oldest would be 100 years old. But most of them were at their prime. You know, they could have come over, worked here, and benefited their families, their villages, and New Zealand, of course. It became part of New Zealand history that was not nice. Huh? The Whai Lunga Lan, that time, everybody were affected by it. Our family. So for me, where I sit every day in my job and to see young Pacific Islanders like Ricky coming through, this is why some of them have the identity issues. How do you expect our young ones to flourish when there are bad laws like this that, you know, forbade them from reaching their full potential? So of course, there's a question here about how did people feel when it was, oh my gosh, everybody celebrating. You know, especially our young ones. Our young ones in the terms of their identity and just to be acknowledged, you know, and to say that you matter. We made a mistake. And this is what the government, the parliament did by passing that bill. They amended it, but it's still the gist of it was giving back to our elders. There's a fight remaining for our descendants, but as we said, their time will come. There's work to be done. But for us, it's at the Whanganui Samoa. It's time to celebrate our elders and celebrate our young ones who are going to be our future leaders, you know, and for them to take active interest in the businesses that affect our people. They affect, because it affects young ones, eh, Ricky? It affects young ones growing up knowing that we are boxed of our now overstayers kids, you know, these people that from the dawn raids and, of course, going into the citizens, being removed. How,
it's not very nice. And I do know that when people are overstayers, illegal immigrants, you know, they get cut off because they're so scared of being found out, that they don't make themselves visible in society. They try not to cause any waves so it gets reported and they get picked up by immigration or police. So that's a worry that's constantly there. And once they, you know, legalize their status, especially now citizenship, it's just that worry gone. And that's a worry that also permeates through to their
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is worried, not just the person involved, but the whole family, because the whole family is supporting these people. So it's a great benefit to be able to tell them that there is citizenship they can apply for. You know, I know that when I was making submissions and various other people were too, it's about how do you compensate for that type of worry? How do you compensate for people who have been deported?
I had a few colleagues for Langa like you that were students here on scholarship when it happened and they got this citizenship. They felt was not equal because of what happened. Yeah. And I said, no, you got yours, come and fight for this. You know, you're not responsible for all this, you know. Of course, many of our people benefited, even the protocol. A lot of our people are benefiting every year with the
RSE
and many other programs. That yes. But it doesn't remove the fact that there was an injustice done. Yeah, now yes. It's done. Let's pause, celebrate the elders, and it's time for the descendants to start looking into people like Selma. How to help.
I think one of the reasons why people were so concerned too with the Act was the worry for New Zealand at the time, I think what Tofiloa said it too, was the number of Samoans who may be able to travel to New Zealand and settle in New Zealand. But following on from that, I just see that Arthur Anais has lobbied again a petition to get enough signatures to get this 3-month visa waiver for Samoans coming in Pacific nations, not just Samoans, to come to New Zealand. Because a lot of people just want to settle in Samoa, in their own Pacific country. They don't want to come to live in New Zealand permanently. But it's that freedom of being able to travel, to come visit their relatives, to also come for whālawelawes that might happen, for events. If it's a funeral for a family member or a wedding, they may be able to attend. So it's just for purposes like that, not necessarily to come and reside in New Zealand. So
time has changed. We've educated young ones like Ricky and Esme and Josh, Guinevere, Leone, To'oto'o Manino, Akabetos, Alisa, Metitilani. I'm thinking of the young ones that some of them we know, and all of them that have been campaigning with us. I think the future looks great. We have every election year now, we have good number of Pacific members of parliament. They are there, they will help promote an understanding of our values so that our leaders who are non-Pacific Islanders do not feel that we are going to impose big time and all come here. No. You know, we all go back. We love to go back. If economy-wise was the same, raising our families, education-wise, opportunities and all that. But most people would love to go back. And they're only being here, as you stated. But the future of New Zealand is changing. And I see our young ones all growing well, being responsible, not only for our own countries where our parents and ancestors came from, but also for New Zealanders. We do care about New Zealand. We love this country. And it's one of the best in the world in terms of human rights, because this law that removed, it breached all those international human rights law and all that. So for me, that was a gain for New Zealand, you know, not just Samoa, it's for New Zealand to be seen in a good light. Yes. The world all over that, you know, it had the guts to do this.
Yes, know? It was groundbreaking in the sense that time ever internationally that a country that was a colonial country has recognized citizenship for one of its territories.
That's right. That's right. And for us as a people, Samoans in New Zealand and around the world, because we had submissions from Canada, from Alaska, from then that Samoans have gone to all these places that are setting up our homes here, and they cared. Some of them from Australia and others say, can we submit? Yes, please. You know, and American Samoa and all that. So world has changed with technology. It's getting smaller and smaller. And knowledge for us now, after our bill this year, we started with the treaty of Waitangi, the principles treaty that just going through. Wakako malamalama lelele fainga process. We learned from all how to do a submission, how to do all that. Yeah. So you get some good things out of it, You know, we took our learning processes from it. You know, we learned about how to operate, you know, respond to the parliamentary system and processes and, you know, these things and how to talk to people properly. You know, sometimes we are our own worst enemy, you know, as a people. What we showed that day on the 1st of July when we had the oral submissions in Auckland. I know they had some in Wellington, but in Auckland, oh my gosh, you should have seen the Jet Park Hotel. It was like a motor Samoa all over. You know, everyone were there and singing our songs. We had the leader of the opposition, the Lesungathula Epasailele, and his MPs coming over, Alawofo and the Alalepule, to be present with our leaders, our church leaders, and everyone coming together. And a young and upcoming one. It was beautiful. You know, we knew we had to fight, we had to do something, and we worked together to do. I'd like to acknowledge Reverend Elder Ola Tofilau and Lucky Slade and Victor Bowesi and Sabea Kirikamesaeli, Crichton, and all those 20 hours who came to our whangaanutu every Sundays. You know, and giving up their church. And I'm pretty sure everywhere around the country, we volunteer our time. This is our role as Samoans. As I said on the radio one night, this is not about any political party. This is about Samoans. You know, when things happen that affect Taikako. So, Ricky, I'm so proud of you and your team.
Thank you.
Yeah, so proud to hear from Fualanga what your group did. I also witnessed some, as I said, our young members, you know, from our radio and Leone Vito Toleafoa. Oh my gosh, our press releases and things like that. Kumbia and Ney and Shalom all coming together to perform and do things for the elders. You know, you know, this is the thing with our culture. Everybody has a role to play. Iloa
I think that's what I've definitely learned from it. Some things that Salma mentioned just wrapping up is that, you know, what was the citizenship between that time from 1918, I think it was, up until independence? Those types of conversations I hadn't even thought of. And it was only when we had that intergenerational conversation because of this bill that we were able to learn all those extra things. I think the other thing I learned from this is that we can trust the select committee process sometimes. We managed to change the National Party's mind and the bill got across and things went swimmingly well, which I thought was really good. The support that was mentioned again by Salma and yourself, Tofilau, from other Pacific countries, being New Wayan, I have a very good insight into what it looks like when you're granted citizenship and then your entire island moves to New Zealand. We're struggling to get people back to New Wayan. So that was something that was on the back of New Wayan's minds. We were thinking, do you really want the Samoa? Because we've seen what happens on our island. And obviously, as was mentioned, we're celebrating this bill, but there's a lot of things that we also advocated for. It was things like, can we have a policy group set up to find out what was the citizenship status of Samoans before that time then? We asked for changes to the superannuation laws to change the criteria for application for that, given that Samoans were affected because of New Zealand law. We asked for the descendants to be considered. We asked for a number of things, and that will just be a fight for another day. And I guess just in wrapping up, I again want to just extend my thanks to you, Tofilau, Salma, and Sally, and Kōrerotia for allowing me to be part of this discussion, something I'm very passionate about. And of course, a massive thank you to Simpson and Grierson, who were the lawyers who gave up their time for free for us to help us with our submission on pilot. And then, of course, Tiano for the bill and coming to speak to us. Kahurangi Carter also joined in from the Green Party. She just showed up to show her support for Pacific people here in Christchurch, and the man himself, Hamish Campbell, who I really felt from the National Party, came to a discussion where he knew that he would probably get an earful. He fronted up anyway and he listened to us. So I'm very grateful to our local MPs for that. So thank you very much for this discussion. Much love.
I just want to end by acknowledging everybody again. This was our journey. Oritato Malanga Satato Malanga Fatasi. mai le malo le fiong al palemia sui o malo al palemene o Samoa sui ma malo al palemene a New Zealand. Honourable members of the parliaments of Samoa and New Zealand, they all contributed one way or the other in our journey. Tai tai o kane sia pa i al fontele i malua e kane sia me tisi Samoa sa mo moli mai alo faanga e kane sia Nazareta, AOG, Catholic, malo faftai le faitatalo ia pa i o tupu mai e o le atinu. Thank you. I Samoa sa tau tali lu mafale, lu mato wo watu, a therefore in New Zealand e. Ia, o se, I like to ask for your forgiveness. I se awala o se upu wale tau tamali. If in our drive to fight for this, we have erred in any way, we ask for your forgiveness. Ia, e te tonu sa umalama. Ia, Samoa e lau tapo inga, after e te le lava, mo le whanualo. Thank you, Sally. For Langa, yeah, and Ricky, and everyone that you work together. I'm a proud Samoa, prophetai, because what we have done is what our parents told us to do. O fea lava tau teo ia e whaungai nei tātou. Yeah, manuia pēr oe Samoa.
Mālo, whaftai. I just want to end up and say, you know, there is a well-known Samoan saying, so o le whau le whau, and it is in the interweaving of all our various people who came and supported this change that we have to thank, you know, including members of parliament, both in New Zealand and Samoa, the churches, community across New Zealand of various ethnicities. Thank you all. But my final thanks goes to Kōrero Tia. Thank you, Sally. Yes. And our panel members, my colleagues, Ricky, Tofi Lau, Faptai, Mālo Seifua, and thank you for me.
Yeah. Mere. Pātia. Pātia. Hey.
Oh.
Hey. Oh.
Pantia for Samoa. Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Pantia for Aotearoa. Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you all so much. That was very, very touching, actually, listening to you going through your journeys and your stories and your reflections and your learnings. And I hope that we take the learnings of democracy and taking part in democracy, Ricky, and apply them now in other situations as well. Pa whetau.
Pa whetau.